In the closing moments of this conference, I come to this pulpit to speak about gratitude as an expression of faith and as a saving principle. The Lord has said, "And in nothing doth man offend God, or against none is his wrath kindled, save those who confess not his hand in all things and obey not his commandments." It is clear to me from this scripture that to thank the Lord thy God in all things is more than a social courtesy. It is a binding commandment. One of the advantages of having lived a long time is that you can often remember when you had it worse. I am grateful to have lived long enough to have known some of the blessings of adversity. My memory goes back to the Great Depression, when we had certain values burned into our souls. One of these values was gratitude for that which we had, because we had so little. We had to learn provident living in order to survive. Rather than create in us a spirit of envy or anger for what we did not have, many developed a spirit of gratitude for the meager, simple things with which we were blessed, like hot homemade bread and oatmeal cereal and many other things. As another example, I remember my beloved grandmother, Mary Carolyn Roper Finlinson, making handmade soap on the farm. Her recipe for handmade soap included rendered animal fat, a small portion of lye as a cleansing agent, and wood ashes as an abrasive. The soap had a very pungent aroma and was almost as hard as a brick. There was no money to buy soft, sweet-smelling soap. On the farm, there were many dusty, sweat-laden clothes to be washed, and many bodies that needed desperately a Saturday night bath. If you had to bathe in that homemade soap, you could become wonderfully clean, but you smelled worse after bathing than before. Since I use soap more now than I did as a child, I have developed a daily appreciation for mild, sweet-scented soap. One of the evils of our time is taking for granted so many of the things we enjoy. This was spoken of by the Lord: "For what doth it profit a man if a gift is bestowed upon him and he receive not the gift?" The Apostle Paul described our day to Timothy when he wrote that in the last days, "Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." These sins are fellow travelers, and ingratitude makes one susceptible to all of them. The story of the thankful Samaritan has great meaning. As the Savior went through Samaria and Galilee, he entered into a certain village, and there met him 10 men that were lepers, and who lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Jesus told them to go and show themselves unto the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus, answering, said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Leprosy was so loathsome a disease that those afflicted were not permitted under the law to come close to Jesus. Those suffering from this terrible disease were required to agonize together, sharing their common misery. Their forlorn cry, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us," must have touched the Savior's heart. When they were healed and when they had received priestly approval that they were clean and acceptable in society, they must have been overcome with joy and amazement. Having received so great a miracle, they completely They seemed completely satisfied, but they forgot their benefactor. It is difficult to understand why they were so lacking in gratitude. Such ingratitude is self-centered. It is a form of pride. What is the significance of the fact that the one who returned to give thanks was a Samaritan? As in the story of the Good Samaritan, the point seems to be that those of lesser social or economic status often rise to a greater duty and nobility. In addition to personal gratitude as a saving principle, I should like to express a feeling for the gratitude we ought to have for the many blessings we enjoy. Those of you who have joined the church in this generation have acquired fellowship with a people, many of whom have a great heritage of suffering and sacrifice. Such sacrifice becomes your heritage also, for it is the inheritance of a people who have faults and imperfections, but have a great nobility of purpose. That purpose is to help all mankind come to a sweet, peaceful understanding about who they are, and to foster a love for their fellow men, and a determination to keep the commandments of God. This is the gospel's holy call. It is the essence of our worship. Without question, we need to be informed of the happenings of the world, but modern communication brings into our homes a drowning cascade of the violence and misery of the worldwide human race. There comes a time when we need to find some peaceful spiritual renewal. I acknowledge with great gratitude the peace and the contentment we can find for ourselves in the spiritual cocoons of our homes, our sacrament meetings, and in our holy temples. In these peaceful environments, our souls are rested. We have the feeling of having come home. Some time ago, we were in the kingdom of Tonga. A family home naming with music and spoken word was arranged by President Moody and his counselors in the State Center. The home evening was in honor of His Majesty King Tupou IV, the reigning monarch of Tonga. The king, his daughter, and granddaughters graciously attended, as did many of the nobles and diplomatic representatives in Tonga. Our members put on a superb program of song and verse. One of the king's granddaughters sang a little solo entitled, "How Much I Love My Grandfather." Elder Sonnenberg and I were invited to respond briefly, which we were pleased to do. After the program was over, the king ignored the usual royal protocol and came over to graciously greet us and our wives as an expression of appreciation for the performance of his subjects who were the members of the church. Social protocol is observed in many places, but the expression of kindness is universally appropriate. It seems as though there is a tug of war between opposing character traits that leaves no voids in our souls. As gratitude is absent or disappears, rebellion often enters and fills the vacuum. I do not speak of rebellion against civil oppression. I refer to rebellion against moral cleanliness, beauty, decency, honesty, reverence, and respect for parental authority. A grateful heart is a beginning of greatness. It is an expression of humility. It is a foundation for the development of such virtues as prayer, faith, courage, contentment, happiness, love, and well-being. But there is a truism associated with all types of human strength. Use it or lose it. When not used, muscles weaken, skills deteriorate, and faith disappears. President Thomas S. Monson stated, "Think to thank." In these three words are the finest capsule course for a happy marriage, a formula for enduring friendship, and a pattern for personal happiness. Said the Lord, "And he who receiveth all things with thankfulness shall be made glorious, and the things of the earth shall be added unto him, even 100-fold, yea, more." I am grateful for people on the earth who love and appreciate little children. Last year, I found myself late at night on an airplane bulging with passengers, going north from Mexico City to Culiacan. The seats in the plane were close together, and every seat was taken, mostly by the gracious people of Mexico. Everywhere inside the plane, there were packages and carry-on luggage of all sizes. A young woman came down the aisle with four small children, the oldest of which appeared to be about four, and the youngest a newborn. She was also trying to manage a diaper bag and a stroller and some other bags. The children were tired, crying and fussing. As she found her seat in the airplane, the passengers around her, both men and women, literally sprang to her aid. Soon the children were being lovingly and tenderly comforted and cared for by their passengers. They were passed from one passenger to another, all over the airplane. The result was an airplane full of babysitters. The children settled down in the caring arms of those who cradled them and before long went to sleep. Most remarkable was that a few men who were obviously fathers and grandfathers tenderly cradled and caressed the newborn child without any false macho pride. The mother was freed from the care of her children most of the flight. The only thing that I felt badly about was that no one passed the baby to me. I relearned that appreciation for and thoughtfulness and kindness to little children is an expression of the Savior's love for them. How can we pay our debt of gratitude for the heritage of faith demonstrated by pioneers in many lands across the earth who struggled and sacrificed so that the gospel might take root? How is thankfulness expressed for the intrepid handcart pioneers who by their own brute strength pulled their meager belongings in handcarts across the scorching plains and through the snows of the high mountain passes to escape persecution and find peaceful worship in these valleys? How can the debt of gratitude possibly be paid by the descendants of the Martin and the Willie and the other handcart companies for the faith of their forebears? One of these intrepid souls was Emma Batchelor, a young English girl traveling without family. She started out with the Willie Handcart Company, but by the time they reached Fort Laramie, they were ordered to lighten their loads. Emma was directed to leave the copper kettle in which she carried all of her belongings. She refused to do this and set it by the side of the road and sat down on it. She knew that the Martin Company was only a few days behind. She had been privileged to start with the Willie Company, and when the Martin Company caught up, she joined the Paul Gourley family. A young son wrote many years later, "Here we were joined by Sister Emma Batchelor. We were glad to have her because she was young and strong and meant more flour for our mess." It was here that Sister Gourley gave birth to a child, and Emma acted as the midwife and loaded the mother and the child in the cart for 2 days, which Emma helped pull. Those who died in the Martin Company were mercifully relieved of the suffering of others with frozen feet, ears, noses, or fingers, which maimed them for the rest of their lives. Emma, age 21, however, was a fortunate one. She came through the ordeal whole. A year later, she met Brigham Young, who was surprised that she was not maimed, and she told him, "Brother Brigham, I had no one to care for me or to look out for me, so I decided I must look out for myself. I was the one who called out when Brother Savage warned us not to go. I was at fault in that, but I tried to make up for it. I pulled my share at the cart every day. When we came to a stream, I stopped and took off my shoes and stockings and outer skirt and put them on top of the cart. Then after I got the cart across, I came back and carried little Paul over on my back. Then I sat down and scrubbed my feet hard with my woolen neckerchief and put on dry shoes and stockings. The descendants of these pioneers can partially settle the account by being true to the cause for which their ancestors suffered so much to be part of. As with all commandments, gratitude is a description of a successful mode of living. The thankful heart opens our eyes to a multitude of blessings that continually surround us. President J. Reuben Clark said, "Hold fast to the blessings which God has provided you. Yours is not the task to gain them. They are here. Yours is the part of cherishing them." As we come to the close of this great conference, I hope that we may cultivate grateful hearts so that we may cherish the multitude of blessings that God has so graciously bestowed. Such gratitude to our Heavenly Father and our fellow men, I pray in the sacred name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.